just want to read this to you out of Mark chapter 10. And it's about a man that comes to Jesus. And as Jesus was setting out on a journey, this man runs up on him and kneels before him. And he asks Jesus, he refers to him as this, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Well, why do you call me good? And no one is good except God. And God alone." He says, "You know the commandments." He says, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and your father." And then the guy says to him, "Well, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth," which means I think I'm a pretty good guy. "I've followed all these commandments." And Jesus looks at him, and scripture says, and he loved him, and he said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." And disheartened by the saying, this young man, he goes away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, which really means he was super rich. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at the words of Jesus. And Jesus says to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly, the disciples, astonished. And they said to Jesus, "Then who can be saved?" And then Jesus looks at them and says, "With man, it is impossible, but with God, for all things are possible with God." My message to you tonight is, it's possible with God. It's possible with God. I mean, the young man appears to have a sense of urgency and desperation to get to God, because scripture tells us he came running. And not only did he run to God, but he drops and falls on his knees before God. And it's like, I want to know. I want to know, how can I have eternal life? And so probably much of what you see with him running to God and kneeling down is simply just out of just emotion and excitement to just have more, but not realizing truly that eternal life is actually everything to do about Jesus Christ and the relationship he desires to have with you. He probably thought eternal life was just getting to some big mansion somewhere and adding more gold to the gold that he already had. And we often talk about heaven and imagine heaven. And of course, we refer to the streets of gold and the house that we're going to have one day and the beauty of heaven. And my dad was the best of giving us this wild, amazing description of what was going to be in heaven. I mean, nobody could describe heaven like my dad. I mean, he was like, "When you touch your doorknob, it's going to be gold and diamonds all around the doorknob. And when you open the door, it's going to be an array of gold bursting through." I mean, I used to be like, and I used to always ask this question to my dad, "Hey, Dad, what's breakfast going to be like in heaven?" And my dad and I, we grew up, both of us, we love pancakes. And he said, "There's going to be stacks and stacks and stacks of pancakes." And I just get super excited, you know. And it's just his way of just getting me excited about heaven. But the greatest excitement about heaven is being with Jesus forever. That's heaven. But the rich young man didn't know that he was talking to God himself. And so that's why he just refers to God as, "Hey, good teacher." He just thought, "Man, this is a good teacher, and he has always all the answers, and he does great miracles." But he didn't fully understand who he was speaking to. And that's why Jesus responded and said, "Well, who is good? Huh? No one but God." And that was his way of just saying, "You're talking to him, but you don't know that yet. But who is God?" And then he gives him a few of the commandments, and because he knew exactly where this young man's heart was and the effort to prove himself to be a good person, but yet he truly wasn't surrendered completely. Salvation requires that you and I be fully surrendered to God. And so, as Jesus shares with him these few commandments, he says, since I was a little kid, I have now as a grown man and rich and wealthy, I've been pretty good with those. Thank you very much. So, man, this is looking good. I'm definitely going to be up in my new mansion. And Jesus says, actually, no, you lack one thing. You're not fully surrendered. You're not really ready to be all in. All of your money and all of your possessions, that which you idolize, that which you keep for yourself, the other things you've been fine with, but is there that one thing that you hold for yourself? And for this young man, it was his possessions, his wealth, and those things were an idol in his life. And Jesus says to him, give up all of that, give it to the poor, and you come follow me. Because if you really want eternal life, then you really want to be with me. And if you really want to live life fully, it is with me. And if you really want to know what it is to have an abundance and to have all your needs met, it's with me, as we sang earlier. This is why we sing All I Need Is You. Because it all begins and ends with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he says, if you really want life, it is me, Jesus. Follow me. And the young man, scripture tells us, turns away and is disheartened by God's words. God's words that says, if you follow me. He's only responding to the question that the young man asked. How do I get eternal life? How do I experience this eternal joy? How do I experience this life that has no end? Well, it's a life completely surrendered to Jesus, fully surrendered, all surrendered to Jesus. There should be and never be anything that you hold on for yourself in the effort to follow Jesus Christ. You can't. That's not salvation. Salvation is your life given fully to God, surrendered. Why? Because Jesus laid down his life completely for you. He went to the cross and died, fully surrendered, laid down his life, died on a cross, this old rugged cross, this two pieces of wood that were nailed together, and they nailed his hands and his feet onto this cross, and he died. He took our place. He canceled our sin debt. He is God. He goes to the cross, and I'm telling you right now, that life surrendered in obedience to his Father was so that you and I could be reconciled back to God so that we could have eternal life and be with Jesus forever. But in order to do that, you've got to be fully surrendered. It's amazing how sometimes we'll come to church or we'll live stream and we'll watch online and we enjoy the service and we enjoy coming to Times Square Church and in some measure, we look like this young person where we come into God's house and we praise and we shout and we clap, but there are still things in your life that you hold for yourself. It's like a part of you wants God, but then there's another part of you that says, I'll keep this for myself. And are there certain things in your life that are just simply idols in your life? Things that do not represent God and his goodness and his kindness, things that are wrong, things that are dark, things that are evil, things that are of practice in your life that are not right. Those things are sin, which separates us from a holy God. Jesus was not trying to make the young man poor. Jesus gives us this wonderful lesson of our lives needing to be fully surrendered to him. And we should never cherish anything above Jesus Christ. And the disciples are astounded by this, right? Totally taken back. Jesus is very passionate about his disciples and those around understanding, man, I know this money and this wealth can so much get in the way of you being fully surrendered to me, so much that it's harder for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. But I believe it wasn't just about money that he was talking about. He was referring to those things that we hold dear to ourselves in our human nature. Those things that we hold dear to ourselves and our own pride that get in the way of you having a complete, full relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what those things are. You have to be fully surrendered. And so when Jesus says this, this gives the disciples this analogy about a camel trying to get through the eye of a needle, and that being in comparison to a rich man trying to get to heaven, then they all respond together. Well, then how in the world do we get saved? Oh, my goodness. And Jesus says, well, with man, it's impossible. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't get to God in your own strength. You can't figure it out how to make things right in your own strength. With man, your favorite person in life, your best friend, is not going to always have the answers for you in terms of how to figure out how to keep going in life. Your husband is not your best answer. Your wife is not your best answer. Your professor at college does not have all the answers, and he's not going to give you eternal life. Your favorite TV show that soothes your emotions, takes you on a wild ride. You cry, you laugh, you get scared. There's not enough time in the world that you could spend watching television shows that will erase and undo the mess that's going on in here. With man and all of man's genius efforts to capture our attention, it is impossible to be saved. It is impossible to be set free. It is impossible to be made whole. It is impossible for you to find satisfaction, eternal satisfaction and life, that eternal life, that life with no end, that eternal joy. But with God, all things are possible with God. It's possible with God. Healing from your past, it's possible with God. The wounds, those things that you've endured, suffering and pain, those things that you feel like will never go away, it's possible with God. Forgiveness, it's possible with God. Being free from addiction, it's possible with God. Being free from the addiction to pornography, it's possible with God. Being free from the addiction to smoking weed, it's possible with God. Being able to get out of the relationship that you're in, you're dating somebody who you shouldn't be dating, and they continue to verbally abuse you, you can get out of that only with God. It's possible with God. Suffering and pain, disappointment, feeling like you are the scum of the earth, feeling like you are a disgrace and you are just living your life unable to achieve anything, that can only change through God and in God. It is possible with God to be a new person, born again, to be a new person where all things that are of the past are finally done and passed away, but now you can be a new person tonight. It's possible with God. The power of God has been given to us if you would receive and believe in faith now in Jesus Christ. It's possible with God to get up out of your seat tonight and to walk out these doors and know that you can live your life in victory and in freedom. It's possible with God. The opportunity to get up out of your seat tonight and trust that you can find a new job and trust that you can finish your studies and graduate from college one day. It's possible with God. If there's any teenagers in here that feel like life. I don't want to go to high school anymore. I don't want to study anymore. And I'm tired of getting bullied. You can get through high school, get your diploma, and move on. It's possible with God. Your marriage, you and your spouse continue to fight and to fuss, and it's getting out of control, and there's not a single day where you have peace in your home, but it is possible with God. Addiction to alcohol. I can't seem to just get away. I just constantly keep going back to the bar. I keep going back to the club. Every day, I just have to have a drink. There's no way I can stop doing this. Yes, it's possible with God. Will you stand up with me? Some of you, and I think many of you here, you have certain things that are going on in your life, and you've already decided that this particular area of my life won't change. But it's possible with God. Now, you think about those things right now. Because if you believe in faith that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you and rose again on the third day, if you believe that in faith, then the very power that raised Jesus Christ up from the grave on the third day is the very power that will belong to you right now. It is the power to make all things possible in your life. That's why I tell you tonight, and I go on and on, it's possible with God. Because listen to me, the power that raised Jesus Christ up from the grave on the third day is the same power that you can have tonight. I want everybody tonight to receive this power. It's the power of God to make all things possible. Now, if that's you, we've got some time. Get right with God. Receive his power. Believe tonight in faith. I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want you to doubt anymore. I'm not going to raise my voice anymore. I just want you to receive this power, to know that it's possible with God. It's the power for you to walk out these doors and know that I'm saved and set free, and God's going to do a miracle in my life. Right now, you come to the front. You step out and you come to the front right now. I want to pray with you. From the balcony to the main floor, you come out. What is it that you've been saying? No, it's not possible. It's just not possible. It's just not going to work out. What is that thing you've been saying? It's not possible. Whatever that thing is that you've been saying, it's not possible. It's not possible. No, make it possible with God right now. Make it possible with God right now. Let him be God. Let him be your Savior right now. In the name of Jesus, let him be your God. Let him be your Savior now. It's possible with God. You come forward. You lay it down up front here. And you said that thing that you've been saying, it's not possible. You're going to lay that thing down right now. And you're going to receive God as Savior, as healer, as your miracle worker. It's possible with God. You're tired of being addicted to that thing. It's possible with God to break it right now. Come forward. Sometimes you feel like it's impossible to get out of bed because depression is just beating you up over and over and over again. It's possible with God for depression to end tonight. He's going to save you from depression tonight. He's going to save you from alcohol addiction. Come on. Don't be ashamed. men, I said this earlier in the 1 o'clock service. I actually prayed over the men in our church. Don't let pride get in the way of being fully surrendered to Christ Jesus. Don't let your pride get in the way tonight. Don't let pride get in the way. There's a lot of men I know. I've been there before. I'm good. I'm all right. I got this. I'm good. I'll figure it out. I'll make sense of it. I'm good. No, there's no one good. That's what Jesus said. His word is only God is good. And you get to come to a good God who wants to set you free from your addiction. So stop trying to figure it out on your own. When you have this amazing God that wants to love you. The young man went away disheartened. Outside of Christ Jesus, that's the only way you'll walk out of these doors. I'm going to be very honest with you. If you don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and as healer and as your deliverer, you'll be just like the young man and you'll walk out disheartened. Thank you, brother. You're not walking out disheartened tonight, all right? You're walking out free. Would you pray this prayer with me? I give you all of me. Everything I surrender to you. I look to you, Jesus. Thank you for dying, taking my place. I believe you went to the cross and you canceled my sin debt. And you rose again on the third day. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. I am a new person in you, Christ Jesus. I hold nothing back. I surrender it all to you. You are my God, and I am yours. Forgive me of my sins and trying to do it my way. Now I'm going your way. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. In your name I pray. Amen.